Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. Let's pray before we go to the text. Gracious God, you who are both the first and the last, we thank you that you hem us in behind and before. We thank you that we are never abandoned. We are never alone, but that you are with us in your presence always. We thank you for your great mystery, that which we do not understand, but we also thank you for the way that you are constantly revealing who you are to us. We join with you in rejoicing in your great love. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in the 1990 American classic movie, Home Alone, there's an 8-year-old kid named Kevin McAllister. He's tired of his family, and he kind of wishes he didn't have one. Soon after his complaints, his family accidentally leaves him behind while they travel to Paris. Finding himself suddenly home alone, Kevin thinks that his wish has come true. But quickly, the pristine and perfect world is spoiled by two men called the Wet Bandits, who have targeted the McAllister house in order to rob it. Learning of their plot to rob his house on Christmas Eve, Kevin uses his brains, his knowledge, and very precise timing to rig the house with booby traps. They're shot with a BB gun, they're made to slip on ice, they're burned by two hot doorknobs, and by falling clothes irons, they get hit in the face with a paint can, and most notably, they are covered in caulking glue and feathers. Finally, Kevin's neighbor helps him to render the pair of bandits useless, and they are taken away by the police. And in the end, Christmas happiness is restored as the McAllisters come back through the door and the family is reunited. This is a story about treasuring your family and the enjoyable first blush of freedom and its eventual reality check. But also, in many ways, it is the expression of our text today, illustrating what would be a wise or foolish person. A wise person acts when it is time to act, uses the knowledge and resources at their hands, and understands that timing is important. The foolish person is one who does not notice that the house they have marked to rob has someone living in it, acts too soon or too late to avoid a trap, and does not know how to use their resources against a lone child enemy. So as we think today about wisdom and its gifts to believers, the importance of seeking wisdom, we can consider this as a very convenient case study to help us frame our text. And certainly, you don't have to have lived the same life as Kevin McAllister to know a foolish person when you see one. We've all met those that we would say are chronically unwise. You might not call them a fool to their face, but their actions and their life choices are obviously foolish. Sometimes even we make choices in our day-to-day life that are foolish. Sometimes I mutter to myself, gosh, that was really a fool's move on my part. But what is wisdom, and why is it more desirable than foolishness? Why does wisdom matter to us? Is there a difference between wisdom and what is good and right? Well, let's think first about foolishness briefly, because foolishness is the opposite of wisdom in the scriptures. The English language idea of foolishness or fool in the Bible, especially in the wisdom literature like Job or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, has a variety of Hebrew words that are under the umbrella word of fool in English. So these different ideas about foolishness range in severity. Some of them are general naivety that you find in young people, and some of them are malicious antagonism, somebody raring for a fight. And all of the English Bible reads is fool. So there are many ideas in Hebrew conveying the same English idea of foolishness. Sometimes foolishness is related to a bad moral vision, bad timing, or a lack of information. The most dangerous foolishness is that which is all three: a sinful transgression, poorly timed, misinformed. In contrast, of course, wisdom is that which is right action, good information, well timed. With the right action or the right inaction, Someone who is wise can move from understanding to the execution of wisdom. With the right knowledge, someone who is trying to be wise can be assured that they're not missing any of the elements necessary to make a wise decision. With the right timing, someone wanting to use their knowledge and to act can know that their wisdom is going to yield a good result. Essentially, when you understand, know, and act well, wisdom will bring about a good reward. But missing even one of these elements can be problematic to the goal of wisdom. For example, if you have the right time and right action without right knowledge, you usually get a good result, but it's not wisdom because it misses essential elements because of a lack of information. This would be like if you were to get a job offer someplace that you had applied, but it seemed to you like it would be a good fit, but without prayer or wise counsel from your spiritual friends, you accept the job. Maybe it's not an outright disaster, but you're missing the truest source of wisdom, the assurance of the Lord. This is often how worldly wisdom looks, just fine from the outside, but hollow and unrepeatable on the inside. If you have right action without and right information, but at the wrong time, you get scenarios where your information or your action or your service isn't received by other people. This one might be when you correct your spouse in public. Maybe you were right about what you said, but considering the context would have helped you notice that it might have brought shame to them. And so they're not able to hear you, even if what you said was right, because the timing was wrong. None of it really matters in the end. If you have the right time and the right information, but the wrong action or maybe the inaction, you get nothing. You've wasted the knowledge and timing. None of it really matters because if you know you have a bill coming up that's going to take out a portion of your paycheck, but rather than saving that money when you have it before the bill comes, you spend it on a fun dinner night out. That action sabotaged the right knowledge and the right timing that you had and made you look a bit foolish. So let's look at our text today and see what the scripture might have to say to us about wisdom, how to get it, and how to keep it. We're reading from Proverbs 24, 3 through 6 today. Proverbs 24, 3 through 6. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious riches. Wise warriors are mightier than strong ones, and those who have knowledge more than those who have strength. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. So this Proverbs passage is one of many that we could have chosen to talk about today in relationship to wisdom and what wisdom does for us. I picked this one because I really love this image presented of a house filled with beautiful things on a firm, solid foundation. We can see the idea that the writer is trying to communicate, that any house, whether a physical building or a metaphorical life, would be unstable, unfinished, and empty without the necessary presence of wisdom. But with wisdom, the house is finished, established, filled with good things, beautiful, to be savored. The next few lines talk about the advantages wisdom gives over even physical strength, speaking with confidence that wise warriors are mightier than strong ones. Kind of sounds strange, doesn't it, that they would use the word mighty when speaking of wisdom over strength. But this is to express just how valuable it is to have wisdom over even physical prowess or tactical advantage. Wisdom always wins out. Just like in Home Alone, wisdom is better than strength, and only those with wise counsel can receive a true victory. Now, this all seems really easy and clear in the text, but real life means that making wise decisions is hard. Hard to decide what is wise, hard to decide what timing is right, hard to know whether to act or to not act. What is it about making wise decisions that is so complicated for us? Even under the best of circumstances, it can be difficult for us to be wise. One of the things that is so complicated is that there is no solution that works in every situation, no standard that applies in every way. To be a person who seeks wisdom is to understand that there is no piece of wisdom that could be used in every situation. Any wisdom is best when we understand it to be situational. It only works in certain cases because the importance of timing and right information means that the end of wisdom is constantly shifting. Sometimes what might be wise for you in a given moment might be terribly unwise even 10 minutes later. Proverbs 26, 4 through 5 tells this, and as a good example, with two verses found in the same chapter, one right after the other. The first verse reads, "Do not answer a fool in his folly, or you will be like him." Ouch. The next verse reads, "Answer a fool in his folly, or he will be wiser still." So which is it? It doesn't seem fair for the text to have it both ways. The truth is that sometimes it is better to leave a fool in their foolishness. And sometimes responding to a fool allows them to change their behavior. The when and potential of interaction here is related to the larger question of wisdom, including timing, knowledge, and the counsel of other people. Even if you're dealing with a similar situation to something you've had in your life before, the wisest move might be different than it was the first time. Another thing that's complicated about wisdom is that sometimes the wise thing is not the most rewarding in the moment, the safest thing, or the thing that brings us the most happiness. Sometimes making wise decisions is difficult, painful, or just uncomfortable. These feelings don't mean that the action was unwise, simply that sometimes other people's less wise decisions have an impact on our own. Just because you hurt at the end doesn't mean you didn't choose wisely. Wisdom is often proved out by time. And when we are past a problem or an issue, we can often see more clearly that what caused the harm was the circumstance, not the choice itself. If wisdom doesn't always bring immediate reward and happiness, and it seems like a lot of work, why would we even think about seeking wisdom? Well, another section of Proverbs from chapter 4 has some clearer statements about what wisdom can offer us. If we seek wisdom, it says, wisdom will not abandon us in our time of need. If we love wisdom, then wisdom will guard us from danger and foolishness. If we prize and honor wisdom, the text says, then we will be honored and embraced by that same wisdom. In fact, that honor will be like a crown on our heads, a garland on our neck. Wisdom will lead us in the path of the upright and will help us not to trip or fall. We should cling closely to wisdom and watch wisdom because it is a source of life for us. All of these ideas teach us that wisdom is more than about just avoiding looking silly in front of other people. Wisdom can help us maintain the life of righteousness that we seek and can help us receive honor as we work to serve God in faithfulness. So now we know about wisdom and we understand its elements and we can see the ways that it has benefit for us as believers. We should ask the next natural question. How do we apply wisdom in our own lives? As we come to any decision, small or large, we should do as James tells us in the New Testament. We should first ask God to give us wisdom. Then we should consider the elements of wisdom to determine what might be the wisest choice by asking ourselves, do I have enough information about this? Or should I seek counsel in this question? We can provide a chance for us to gain right knowledge. A way this could happen for you might be in not rushing to make a choice, but instead speaking to a spiritual leader or spending time in prayer. By asking ourselves, would it be better to wait or to act now? We can determine what might be the right time to apply this wisdom in our lives. Anytime we take not impulsively running to make a decision is time wisely spent. By evaluating these questions, we can begin to consider if taking action or not taking action is the right decision. This might mean sometimes engaging with a combative friend when they speak out hateful things, or sometimes waiting for them to burn themselves out before responding in love instead of to fight. Each of these elements is imperfect, but when considering them together, they can provide space for the Holy Spirit to reveal what might be wise in our own lives. This might be a prompting that comes into your heart through the words of a friend, through the scriptures coming to mind. But by using these tools, we can trust that God's wisdom is available and given to us. So if you wish to know better how to be wise and you wish to learn from wise people, I want to invite you to join the kingdom and work of God. This means putting on Christ in baptism, learning and growing within a community of like-minded Christians. Maybe you're a believer already, but are interested in joining this particular community of believers. We'd love to receive your membership here at Hayes Christian Church. If you have any needs, some help, some wisdom, we ask that you would come to us so that we can work together to grow as one body of believers, as those who love God and are loved by God. Amen. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.